Our next guest, could you imagine him strolling in to McDonald's to get a grand Big Mac while he walks in with his staff? I think he might even get two for one deal just because it's classy. Dave McCarthy from Sirius XM joins us. Davey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'd do that. I just was a little bit turned off when it comes to eating after I heard you mention the phrase nipple chafing coming in there. So that was interesting. Yeah.
It's real, bud.
Have you ever had nipple chafing, Dave?
No. I mean, I've worn the heart monitors when we've done the 12-minute runs in like high school gym class, but I've never got them up quite that high. So I maybe you're not wearing them right, Strutty. I don't know.
But he can't, a 12-minute run.
Strutty says
that's
he gets nipple. Yeah, he gets nipple chafing from just from his T-shirt. He says.
So. No. I did not say that. No, I said when I run, if I run for like an hour, if I have like not a con T-shirt, but like one of those ones, like an Under Armour one that is a little bit harder, it's wicking. You can get the nipple chafing. It's a real thing. People deal with it all the time.
No, you're right about that. Maybe you should go tarps off. Then you're an in shape kind of guy. You could do that in public, right? Get a run in, tarps off. No.
Well, I don't like to make other people feel bad, right? You know, if I don't want to run beside Greg with my shirt off, and geez, guy's got a sweater on.
Well, let's be honest, boys. If we're running, the only time Struds is beside me is off the start. So,
here we go.
Clear.
Here we go. Come on.
I saw you lose a race at Mark Mijo. Enough said.
I can't believe how fast
Hey, Davey.
Jeez.
He's the fastest kid alive. maybe that's what Montreal was saying after last night. Because it's great Montreal got to Stanley Cup final, but like I know it's only one game, and all the Montreal fans are, yeah, we lost the first game in '93, we lost the first game in '86, and all these other years, but they didn't play the Tampa Bay Lightning, man. Like Tampa, you're not going to win any games if you can't even get 20 shots on goal.
No, you're not. And oddly enough, the Capitals in 2018, the Blues in 2019, and the Bolts last year also lost Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final and came back to win. So it's not without precedent that you can buck the trend. I think it's somewhere in the 70s, teams that win Game 1 in the Stanley Cup Final go on to win. But clearly in recent times, it's been a different story. But man, that was it was quite a performance by Tampa Bay. Like, to me, The only team that can beat Tampa Bay is the Tampa Bay Lightning. And by that, I mean if they play the game that they're capable of playing, I just don't see Montreal having a chance. I really don't against this team because they can beat you in so many different ways. And they've shown it throughout the playoffs. They can beat you 8-0 if they want to, if that's how it has to go, like they did the Islanders in Game 5. They can grind you down, win 1-0 like they did in Game 7. I think yesterday was a combination of that kind of because the first period was a little scrambly as it tends to be in the Stanley Cup Final. You kind of try and feel out the other team. And then once they got that first goal and then they got the second goal, they really kind of seemed to settle in. And then they obviously expanded the lead in the third with 3 goals. But even more importantly than that, they absolutely suffocated that Habs team in the third. Like, they really got no quality chances whatsoever to try to fight back into that game. So, to me, the only team that can beat Tampa is Tampa. And the way they're playing right now, it looked like they almost raised their play another 10 or 20% in Game 1.
Yeah, I thought it was a statement game, Dave McCarthy. Like they were like, hey, you know, good, nice run, guys, but we're gonna spank you and kind of put you back in your place. What do you do if you're the head coach of the Luke Richardson, I guess, in this case, and like Nick Suzuki's line had a tough night. Like they really got owned by a superior line. I guess there's not much you can do on the road.
Wow, it's difficult, and I think John Cooper did a really, really good job of getting that point Kucherov line away from Philippe Dano. I'm not concerned so much from Tampa Bay's standpoint that, even if Kucherov and Point ended up having to go against the Dano, Lekkinen and Gallagher line, that they wouldn't be able to find a way to be successful. But for Montreal, that is punitive if they're going up against the Suzuki line because they showed you what they could do yesterday and it was not pretty. So It's really difficult on the road to get the matchups that you want. And clearly, John Cooper did a better job last night of facilitating his matchups. I think through 40 minutes, Dano only played 9 seconds against the point Kucherov line. So that is not ideal at all for Montreal. Can they make a change? I mean, they started in the third period. You could see them quickly changing. They didn't have the match. But then you kind of end up almost getting in your own way at times and chasing the game and not really trying to get into a groove yourself, playing your own game. It's not ideal when you're on the road for a team like Montreal that I think a lot of their success is predicated on getting the first goal and then being able to lock it down. Once they didn't get that first goal and the point Kucherov line was dancing in a very favorable matchup, the Habs were in really, really deep trouble. So that, to me, will be a storyline heading into game two. See if interim head coach Luke Richardson is able to find a more effective way of getting his most desired matchup.
Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM joins us. Dave, from your outside perch, what do you make of the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins 8 years, $5.125 million contract was agreed to today?
I don't mind that so much. Like, I mean, it feels like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been in the league forever. And then when I looked up the duration of the contract, by the end of it, he's only going to be 36. Like, he could sign another deal after that one if he's still in that position. And at 36, he's a really quality player. I don't see why he can play past that. So I don't think the term is really as bad as some people might make it out to be. I think he's going to be an effective player into his 30s because they're not, I mean, right now at least, he's not being put in a position where they're asking him to be the guy that drives the offense. They're asking him to be a really effective part of that group behind McDavid and behind Draisaitl. And I think he can be that. And at just over five, if Nugent Hopkins puts up 55 to 65 points a year, which I think he's capable of, and is the guy that can be used in matchups, I think that's a more than acceptable salary. I mean, put it this way. I think it's going to be really, really easy for him to punch above that salary class, that salary level. And if you do that, generally speaking, contracts work out pretty well. Like I say it every year. Look at the rundown on Cap Friendly, and show me the amount of guys that are punching above their salary level, and I'll tell you the teams that went deep in the playoffs. And generally speaking, if you get guys that are outperforming their salary, they're going to be in really good shape as a group. And I think he's got a really, really good opportunity to outperform that salary.
Joined by Dave McCarthy, breaking down the world of NHL. And I think you make a good point. There is an opportunity for him to outperform it. I think that's a big deal. We've been discussing it over the last little while, and I want to get your thoughts. You look at some of the body types the Oilers have in their top five or six players with, you know, Connor and Leon and Nuge, some slighter guys there, you know, Yamamoto, who's currently playing the top six. Is it important for the Oilers to kind of look at a bigger body that can play as well? I know they're not, you know, falling out of the trees, but, or is it just kind of next man up and try to get the best player we can?
I mean, I'm always interested in size where I can find it. I guess more so on the back end necessarily than up front. I mean, you look at the D that have gone deep this year. The Knights D was really, really big. You look at Montreal, Sherratt, Weber, Edmondson, Petrie. They are big boys. Tampa's D, Hedman, Cernak. Like, Hedman's 240, Cernak's 220. Like, my word. So I think size is really important on D. Up front, you like it where you can find it, but as you pointed out, forwards that are big, that have ability, do not necessarily grow on trees. So I think if I was Ken Holland, I'd be looking for something along those lines. But I don't think it's the worst thing at the end of the day when you can run out a couple of guys in McDavid and Draisaitl that are generally going to be, you're generally going to like what you see. I think it's more important on the back end. If you can find it up front, that's great. But I'm more interested in skill and ability up front to shoot it in the net. Because if you don't have that talent, I don't care if you're 240. You just don't generally have a chance of scoring. I want people that have a chance of scoring, even if they're a little slighter. McDavid's, I mean, not that small. Dreisaitl's not that small. Yamamoto, yes, is smaller. Nuge is, you know, he's average size. But that's sort of how I see it up front. Skill maybe a little bit more important over size up front, but on the back end, man, I don't think you can put a premium just on how important it is to have big guys back there.
Fair point.
Davey, the NHL awards are tonight. Vasilevsky or Fleury, who do you think wins the Vezina?
Oh, I think Vasilevsky, honestly. I mean, as good as Fleury was this year, I think Vasilevsky was just at a level a little bit higher than that. You talk to anybody and you ask who's the best goalie in the world, and it's right away it's Vasilevsky or it's Price. And I think Vasilevsky was at that level by and large most of the year. So as good as Fleury played, I just don't see him edging Vasilevsky at this point.
Davey, have yourself a great Tuesday. What's the temperature out in Toronto right now?
Well, it's thick. It's been pouring rain all day. I'm trying to barbecue right now, and it was fine when we started our talk, but now it's literally pouring rain, and I am absolutely drenched while trying to barbecue. So it's warm. I'm not cold, but it's also not ideal because I don't look, how shall we say, I look somewhat déshabillé.
Oh, okay. Well, it's only plus 37 here right now, Dave.
Yeah.
Or plus 30.
Send some of that heat this way.
Screw. Yeah, well, we would take some of your rain, too. We could have a nice switch for it.
I bet.
I like it.
The trick,
Dave, have a great one.
There to be consummated. Okay, boys.
Yes. Yeah, let's make that trade. I think all Albertans would take that deal right now. We'd take a deal of rain for 2 days, switch back up. We'll get some heat after. That'd be fine.